Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You are listening to 90.7 WVUA-FM, The Capstone, and the Wednesday edition of the Student Section. I'm your host, Andy Bass, and alongside me are my lovely co-hosts, Michael Weldon and Jeremiah Johnson. I did not say beautiful.
I'm lovely.
Let's put that on the record. Did not say that. I decided to give you lovely last time. Okay.
You did say lovely, though. You did say that. That's on the record. You said it.
Whatever. Fine.
Don't deny it.
I'm not. By the way, ladies, I shaved my neck. The beard's still here, but the neck is
shaving. Yeah, in case anyone was wondering. Thanks for the update, Michael.
Cleanly shaving. But, come get them, ladies. Come get them.
Yeah, we are here in the studio. But as we move on.
We're sweating, too, by the way.
It is warm. But, you know, y'all feel all nice outside. That's great, but it's a little hot. But now we were talking college basketball, and we talked about just rankings and stuff in general.
Uh-huh.
But now let's move into individual players. First, I want to know your player of the year, and next we're going to talk about NBA draft stuff. But right now, give me your Wooden Award winner for the best player in college basketball. Jeremiah, I want you to go first because we all know who yours is.
My player of the year, we've already discussed this earlier in the show. It's got to be Doug McDermott.
Ooh, and
I'm not going off of what he did in previous years.
Buckets.
You know, I'm not going off, you know, the fact that he put the Crimson Tide out the year they made the tournament a couple years ago. He did do that. But I'm talking about 2013 season and ongoing right now. The guy's averaging 26 points. Let's go ahead and round that tenth of a point up. 26 points, 7 rebounds, shooting 51% from the field. He just scored 39 points the other game against Villanova. I mean, he's got it all offensively, and he's carrying that team. And they can make a Final Four push. I really do think they can do that on his back, on his shoulders, solely.
Is that a bold call of the week?
You said it. I said that he could. He could.
Bold call of the week. Jeremiah said Creighton is making it to the Final Four.
Actually, I didn't say that, but I said they had the possibility.
They are making it.
I didn't, actually.
I wrote it down. It's here in my diary.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You do have a diary.
All right. Michael, what about you, though, for player of the year? You told us what yours was, and I want to hear your explanation.
Okay. It's not based on anything other than the fact that Syracuse is undefeated. It's Tyler Ennis.
Okay.
He's best point guard in the entire NCAA.
I'll agree with that.
I'm slowly just picking him because, I mean, all three of us at least need to have someone different. Like, I mean,
Come on.
He leads the best team in the nation.
He's definitely the leader of the best team. He's not like the leading scorer or anything, but he gets the ball around. He rebounds pretty well for a guy his size.
To me, he's that guy that doesn't show up in the numbers, but he's slightly better than everyone else.
And he's the guy who hit the game-winning shot. Or not the game-winning. Was it the shot to take it to overtime? Or did he hit
the game-winner. That was the game-winner.
Yeah, that's
I mean, his game against Duke, which, by the way,
was
9 assists, 14 points, and
pretty good game.
Crazy for me. I'm just saying.
He played all right.
In late game situations, right.
He was
money.
8-for-8 on free throws.
That's right. True.
Especially in a game where it was against Duke, where everything came down to free throws towards the end.
Now, what if Syracuse loses to Duke though on Saturday? Do you think that he's still a Player of the Year candidate, or do you think that he's only a Player of the Year candidate if they finish undefeated?
I think he's only a Player of the Year candidate if they finish undefeated.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I honestly don't think he's going to win the Player of the Year, but if they go undefeated, he deserves it.
He deserves it. That's okay, that's
because,
fair.
Because, like I said, they need to drop a game to Duke.
I can support that. But then, for me, I'm going to pick a guy. He's 2 years younger than me, but he's doing more than I could ever do. It's Jabari Parker. Guys, he came into the season regarded as one of the best freshmen coming up. And people were saying, oh, Andrew Wiggins, he's so much better than Jabari Parker. And I was like, no.
Andrew Wiggins is incredibly raw.
Yeah, well, he's okay.
Raw.
He's very raw, undeveloped, and he's just not ready.
Is that how all critics sound, just in your head? They're in that.
That's actually exactly how they sound. When they disagree with me, they're just like, ooh, Tyler Ennis, he's so good. Doug McDermott, listen to him play. But Jabari Parker is the truth. And here's what I said. I was talking about this during the break, and you made me adjust my statement, and I'm not happy about it, Jeremiah. I was going to say Jabari Parker is the next LeBron.
And I'm so glad
that
you...
And I am not sticking to that. Right now.
For your own sake, I'm
now,
glad
give
you...
him another couple of years,
oh, and he could goodness. Be.
But please. Right now, he is Carmelo Anthony.
Yes, you could say that.
He's going out there. He's averaging 19 and 9. I mean, he's hitting. He's a great attacker at the basket. He can post up like Melo can. He runs the floor. Effective. He can run the floor. He can throw down.
He can.
His 3-point average isn't great. He's not tremendously confident in his 3-point shot yet, which is not a flaw, I don't think. I mean, it's just he's a freshman. I mean, he's still trying to figure out his stuff. He shoots like 74% from the free throw line. He still is working on his passing.
Which by the way, just straight up mentioning it, got outplayed by Tyler Ennis.
Dude, okay.
I know, like, it's just one game.
Got outplayed, it's one game.
I know it's just one game, but they also have a game coming up again. So.
Yeah. I mean, okay, look, here's my thing. You cannot judge Jabari Parker by game.
No.
Okay, you look at the Syracuse
although
game,
I will.
And that is. That's one of his most important games. I mean, he only played 26 minutes. You know, he had a little bit of foul trouble in that game. He fouled out. But he had, you know, 3 turnovers, only 15 points, but he had 9 boards. So 15 and 9. So you said he got outplayed.
I'm just saying.
He technically outplayed Ennis. Ennis had 14 and 9. Parker had 15 and 9. I'm just saying.
1 point. But you're...
You know, 8 of 9 from the free throw line.
Right,
he didn't shoot very well from the field. He went 3 of 13. But then, you know, he bounces back, has a couple of 20-point games since then. And then last night, going 16 and 14 in a pretty stern beating to Georgia Tech. I don't know. I think that he is the best player in college basketball. I think he could go into the draft this year, get drafted, and immediately start and immediately make an impact in an almost a Kyrie Irving fashion. I think he could do that. I think he could be that type of player for a team.
I agree with you in the sense that you could say that he's the best player in the country right now, and he is a better pro prospect than Doug McDermott. I mean, he has it all offensively. He's big, and he has a lot of room to grow. But... And he will make an impact on the NBA team. Like if he played in an NBA game tomorrow, he could score 20 points.
Oh yeah,
easily.
Oh yeah,
easily. I mean, his offensive game, it's amazing for a kid for to be 18.
And I'm going to say something about Doug McDermott real quick that's going to make you really mad.
Okay.
The way I view Doug McDermott as a draft prospect is he is basically the equivalent of Adam Morrison.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you're doing
he is
that
a great
to him.
College.
That is so
he is a great.
Dirty.
He is a great college scorer. Great college scorer. And Adam Morrison could get the ball around. He could pass.
At least he doesn't have the mustache.
And yeah, at least doesn't have the mustache. McDermott can rebound and he can shoot well, but I think he's going to go to the NBA and he's not going to be able to find anywhere to go.
Dude, he's going to fit in somewhere, honestly, because Adam Morrison, he was a great offensive player, but he was primarily a shooter. Doug McDermott literally has it all. He has it all. There's nothing he can't do on the court offensively.
Well, that's also because it's really hard to match up with him. When you're in college basketball, you don't usually have a 6'9" man who can take it out.
Dude, really,
still though,
take this. Wally Szczerbiak, he's kind of like Wally Szczerbiak, who was a really good
average player for the Timberwolves.
Wally Szczerbiak had some good years.
Okay, Wally Szczerbiak had some good 3-point years.
The only thing that, like, you're just saying he's just gonna have an average. I just think there are too many bad teams in the NBA that he's not going to be a decent starter.
You think so?
I mean,
I'll definitely say this.
If you look at the East, like, there are so many bad
teams. Oh, yeah,
teams
no, he has a lot of talent. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that. He definitely has the talent. I just don't know if he's going to be able to go anywhere and make the kind of impact that Jabari Parker can. Because, I mean, you look at Adam Morrison. A lot of people thought Adam Morrison was going to go somewhere. He was drafted by Charlotte with the 3rd overall pick. People were like, oh, he's going to make an incredible impact right off. And he averaged like 10 a game. And then
if
they traded him to Portland. And they were like, I don't know what to do with him. What do you want to do with him?
Well, yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you in the sense that Doug McDermott is a better pro prospect and better player than Jabari Parker. Because he's not. Jabari Parker is a superior prospect. I'm just saying on the college level, you know, best player right now who would win the Wooden Award, I think, is Doug McDermott. And the main thing has been consistency. He's been dominating all season.
He's been dominating for 3 years, honestly.
Exactly. You had Jabari Parker's stats pulled up, and there was a point in January where he was only, you know, like 3 or 4 games in a row. He scored like 12 points, 8 points, 7 points. And then he rounded it back out into form into the Jabari Jabari Parker we've seen all year. Dermond, on the other hand, has only had one game this whole season where he's only where he scored under double digits, and that was 7 points against.
By the way, the games that you're talking about against Elon, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Clemson, and then Virginia was his 8 point game.
Right.
He went 12-7, 12-15-8, something like that.
Mm-hmm. It was a bad game. It was 3-2-8.
No, but the point totals.
Yeah.
Which, you know, yeah, that's down, I guess, for
that's
Jabari
just,
Parker.
That's just like a week
But if he won, if he...
literally,
I mean, that's like a good line for Levi Randolph.
If he did win the Wooden Award, I have no problem. I mean, I would be okay with that because I'm so high on Jabari Parker. He's an awesome player, and I think he's going to be a really good player in the league, but I just think Doug McDermott is more deserving of it.
Okay, so now let's go ahead and say, hypothetically, Milwaukee finishes with the worst record in the NBA.
Because it's going to happen.
Because that's probably going to happen. They have 10 wins through 53 games. Not very good. They're 31 games out of first, so they are mathematically eliminated from winning the Eastern Conference.
They'll get them next year.
So let's say, okay, you're Milwaukee. Who do you draft with the first overall pick? Go, quick.
Take Jabari Parker.
You take Jabari Parker? Ooh, I want to take Joel Embiid.
It's hard because hypothetically,
every freshman goes out.
Every freshman.
Oh,
every
wow.
freshman that you'd want to draft goes.
Okay.
Who do you pick?
I'd pick Joel.
Joel Embiid?
You can make a case for Joel Embiid.
I mean, you look at his defense, man. He's such a promising player with that defense and the post presence. He can score inside. Already has some moves.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to take Joel. Even though I want to take Jabari.
It's tough. It's really tough because the combination of Brandon Knight, Jabari Parker, and all that would be great. But Joel Embiid, you know, he's like that glue guy, like where you could build a championship team around. Kind of like we thought Greg Oden was some years ago.
Kind of like we thought we did.
Now Greg Oden's just a piece on a championship team.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But that wraps it up for us here on the Wednesday edition of the Student Section. Make sure to have a good rest of your day, folks. We're out of here. Keep listening to 90.7 WVUA FM and Roll Tide, folks. Every time